Genesis chapter 6. Do you have it open? My question this morning, how far will you go to save your family? You know, we're in Genesis 6, you'd pretty much know who we're going to talk about. But as we consider the enormity of what he had to do to save his family, I hear Brother Ronnie's, you know, I didn't know your dad, but I've never heard any bad thing about him. And yet, saving his family is not a priority. Not spiritually. Physically, a provider. And we have lots of men in this room, maybe joining online, but that we know, understand the demand for material provision. But we must provide spiritual material also. They need Jesus. They don't just need Jesus. They need a relationship with their Heavenly Father. Dads, we are supposed to give them an example of a relationship that they can say, hey, my dad showed me the Lord. My dad protected me. He provided for me. He loves me. He's there when I need him. There are things in our lives that we don't want to tell our parents that we've done, right? There are things my mom still doesn't know. My dad's in heaven, and I hope the Lord hadn't told him either. But we don't necessarily want to tell our parents what we've done, but we need to know that they are there if we fall flat on our face. You know, we, a couple of times this morning, appreciate you ladies singing that song, and it's true. All of that was true. Great. There are so many songs about fathers, about what a dad. You know, there's that other song that could have been sung this morning. That's my job, right? You ever heard that? That's my job. What if I fail? That's my job, son. Come home. Call home. And look, it's not one of our favorite activities to have to bail one of our children, but we love our children. I'm reminded, and I've told you all this before, but of the parents, and the one guy says, well, my son's in jail. And his friends say, well, if he was my son, I'd leave him in jail. And he said, well, if he was your son, I'd leave him in jail too, but he's my son. And look, we don't ever want to have to be in that situation, and yet some have. And what do? You do what you, that's your son, that's your daughter, you love him. Do what you can. And by the way, let me just say, sometimes it's best to leave them there. But that's each, you know, that's something each one of us hopefully never has to deal with. But if you do, you just got to deal with it the way you deal with it, with the proper counsel. In verse 5, chapter 6, book of Genesis, the Bible says, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So he was living in, there was a culture that in that day, there was evil, evil, evil. Somebody said to me yesterday, he said, have you noticed how much more violent the world is getting? How much more crime is? And those are things that we are witnessing. Look, it seems like every day we are surrounded with mischief and lust and violence. It's no different than in that day. Mischief and lust and violence. Look at verse number 11. The earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. So there was no redeeming quality as God looked over all the creation and he says, what a mess. What caused it? One word. Not. If you're in Sunday school, you know. One word. Yeah, the end caused it. One, the serpent told Eve, you shall not surely die. God's message was, ye shall surely die. One word changes the message, changes the meaning. We've got to be tuned into God's message, not the world's message. The world's got a message, but it's not God's message. And we look at what's happening today, and we see what happened in the days of Noah. And in Matthew chapter 24, I believe it is, Jesus said, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So we're in a reflection of that time, and we need to be aware and alert and ready, because what happens if the Lord calls it now? He sends the angel and the trumpet, and He calls us home. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go to heaven right now? Know that you're going to heaven right now? And I know automatically say, well, there's a couple of more things I want to get done. No, it's over. It's done. You got to go now. We need to be that ready. That means if there's somebody who needs Jesus that you love, or somebody who needs Jesus that you know, now's the time to reach out to them. I mean now. I mean if you got somebody in mind and you're going to go call them, leave right now and go call them. That's how urgent it is. People need to be saved today. They need to know that when they pray and ask God's forgiveness, that He'll wash their sins away by the blood of Jesus. If they'll trust Christ as their Savior, all their sin will be forgiven and their eternity will be secured. They need to know that. That's how urgent it is. The days were filled with violence. By the way, that was modern thinking. That was modern thinking. Think about that. It had just developed to that. And everybody thought that they were right. They did whatever they wanted. Whatever felt good. Whatever made them happy. What do we know about Noah? Well, verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect. And Noah walked with God. Noah was a man of faith. Think about Father's Day. Dad, what about your faith? What do your children know about your faith? Do they know you're saved? Do they assume you're saved? I was talking to a minister this week that's doing a funeral this week, and he said, well, how do you minister to a family when you don't know if the one that's deceased, the one the funeral is for, if they're in heaven, if they were saved? What do you do? And I told him, but I'll tell you something. When you do my funeral, when you come and stand over my coffin, you can know I'm saved. You can know I'm in heaven. I want you to know that. I don't want you to have any doubt. I don't want you to. You'll know where I am when I go. Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to let people know before we go. Noah was a man of faith. Verse number 10, Noah begat 3 sons. He was a father. He was a father. He had responsibilities. By the time we get here and what's about to happen, the mission that God's about to give him, Noah was 480 years old. Now I know, before the flood, things were different. I get it. But 480 years, that's a long time. He had 3 sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. So he was a father. He was a man of faith. In verse number 14, God said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, pitch it within and without with pitch. Well, hold on a second. As we think about the ark that he's got to build, we measure it out and we understand some things. It's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall. 3 stories, rooms. The estimate is that it took 14,000 trees. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll bet, I just imagine, that if I called Lowe's and Home Depot, all the ones around here, and had to get this much wood, they'd run out before I got everything I needed. 14,000 trees. Oh, by the way, he didn't just go in the and get his Husqvarna out. He didn't call his friend and say, can I borrow your steel chainsaw? No. Yes, they had brass, they had tools, but he had to cut down, or hire it to be cut down, 14,000 trees. Then those trees had to be cut, shaped, to make the boards. And then he couldn't just go and grab a box of screws off the shelf either, nails. So he had to make all of that stuff. And the pitch, where did the pitch come from? He had to go and and get the pitch out of the trees, you know, the sap. And so he had to bleed the trees to get the pitch. And maybe when he was cutting those trees, maybe he thought, I'll just drown. This ain't worth it. But you see, he was a father. He wasn't just saving himself. It wasn't about him. It was about his boys. It was about his family. It was about his neighbors. You see, that ark was not built for the eight people that got on it alone. It was built for the survival of all mankind, so that everyone that wanted to get on could get on. Every person alive that wanted to get on that ark, they could have. Two-thirds of the ship, of the ark, once it floated, once it was closed, two-thirds of it was empty because nobody wanted to get on except Noah and his family. Made fasteners, rooms, stalls, one window, one door, gathered the animals, and then put it all together. How long is it, how much time do we invest in the salvation of our children? How long chase after this pursuit of our children knowing the Lord and walking with the Lord and experiencing the goodness of God? Noah did it for 120 years from this point. 120 years. He built that ark. I'm sure he gathered his boys and said, boys, let's get to work on this project and let's cut trees and let's fashion the wood and put it all together and do the pitch. And they worked, I'm sure they worked as a family. He probably had some hired hands. You imagine he spent his fortune building this ark. But he realized something. What value would fortune be when the flood came and took them all away? I can't buy that wood, that high grade wood. It's too expensive. Is that what he did? I can't buy those good tools. It's too expensive. You know what? When the flood came, there was going to be nothing anyway. So whatever fortune he had amassed to that point wouldn't matter. Guys, understand something. Pursuing money and a job and a career and all this stuff, when the time comes and we're taken out of here, none of that's going to matter. When we get to heaven, none of our fortune is going to matter. What's going to matter is how we're stewards of it, how we spent it, how we used it. Money is a tool. Noah spent his fortune to build this ark. Did his son say, oh, he's wasting our inheritance on this ark in the middle of the desert, water to fall out of the sky, which has never happened? They followed their father. He was a good example. All that labor, all that work for the salvation of his family. Sometimes we look at our lives and we say, why am I doing all this stuff? And usually what it comes back to is we're doing it for our family. Doing it for the Lord. But we're doing it, who it impacts directly is our family. Pieced it all together, pitched it within and without. All the time preaching the message of salvation, a message of God's favor and of judgment upon the earth. Preaching, preaching, preaching. Dad, quit preaching. No, Dad's going to keep preaching. Why? Because he is a man of faith. And that's what fathers do. A good father will seek God. A good father will obey God. A good father will protect his family and give his family an example of honesty and integrity and faith and obedience and a strong work ethic, leading his family for their salvation, to save them from a wicked culture and to save them from the judgment of God and to show them it can be done. That's important. It can be done. We make excuses why we can't do what God's called us to do. Let me assure you of something. He wouldn't have called you to do it if he couldn't equip you to get it done. So we need to obey God. Chapter 7 and verse number 1, the Lord said to Noah, "Come thou and all thy house to the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." God saw Noah. He said, "You're the only one that stuck to it. Bring your family and get aboard." Verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons, his wife, his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters. They got in there and it was safe. It was secure. By the way, God shut the door and they stayed there 7 days and it didn't rain. 7 days, no rain. 7 days, no flood. But they stayed. They hung in there because they were God. They came in, chapter 8, verse 16. And God said to Noah, "Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee." So they went in and they came out after the flood. The first thing that Noah did was what? Chapter 8, verse 20. He built an altar. Why? To worship God. To show his dedication, his service, his devotion to God. That's what we should be looking for. That's what we should be working for. Let our family see our devotion to God. Are we people of faith? What evidence is there in our lives that we believe? Especially as the church. The world is looking to us to see something different. To see something real. Not religion. Not platitudes. Honest, sincere, transparent faith. A love for our Savior. A love for His Word. A love for the saved. A love for the lost. Pity, compassion, all of those things. Kindness. You notice I didn't throw patience in there? But it worked. Built an altar to worship God. Chapter 9, verse 12. God says, "I tell you what, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'll never again flood the entire earth." Verse 12, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud." Make you want to sing a song? God put a rainbow cloud. That's His promise. He won't wipe us out with a flood. Look, have there been localized floods? Absolutely. People died? Yes. That wasn't the promise. The promise was He wouldn't destroy the whole earth with a flood anymore. By the way, He's going to destroy the whole earth. Tribulation is going to come and we see all the different things that are going to happen. And then finally, judgment upon the earth. And the earth shall melt with a fervent heat. Next time it's not going to be water. Next time it's going to be fire. There's a term. Global warming. It's biblical. And it doesn't matter if you drive a diesel or ride a bike. The earth is going to burn up with a fervent heat. God said it's going to happen. And it is going to happen. And we are trending that way. But there's a whole lot that's going to happen between now and then. God put a rainbow in the cloud. Noah obeyed God and saved his family. And by saving his family, He saved humanity. You see, what if God looked and there was no one? Sometimes it seems like we look around today and we wonder who it'll be. Who will it be to stand in the gap? Who will it be to take the risk, to do the work, to make it happen? And will he tire? And will he quit? Will he give up? Because the work's too hard, or it takes too long. The challenge this morning is that we would not quit. Might need to rest, might need to take a break, but don't quit. People need Jesus. We, as the church, are responsible, called, commissioned to share the gospel with the whole world. So let's do our part. Let's stand. This morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you say, "Pastor, I want to get saved." You know, right now, from your heart to God's heart, you can pray and say, "God, I know I am a sinner. And I also know that Jesus died on the cross, rose the third day, to forgive my sins and give me victory in life. And I ask you, God, to forgive my sins and save my soul, and I give my life to you." Would you pray a prayer like that this morning? And trust God to wash away your sins, to forgive your sins, and give yourself to Him. See what God can do with you. I guarantee you, you'll not regret it. God, we thank you for your love and your grace, and pray that right now, in this time, you'll do your work in us. Save souls. Change lives. Make a difference, in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. If you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to do that. But please, don't leave today until you have the assurance that you're going to heaven. This is your opportunity. Maybe there's something else on your heart this morning. Just between you and God, just deal with it, right? Pray from your heart to God's heart. Just be transparent. Open your heart to God this morning. I know there are people in this room, and your parents weren't great parents, but you see, a challenge to your generation, to you, to make a difference, to help others, to encourage, to minister, to try to be what you needed. Appreciate your attendance, your attention this morning. Again, thank you for the celebration of dads. Anything before we're dismissed? 6 o'clock tonight, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And if you're going to go to camp, please let me know as soon as possible. Okay? All right? All hearts and minds are clear? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Bill Sanders, would you dismiss us, please?